Halacha Zion, Daf Samach Beis. Hiviu l'maliach, they bring the salted fish, batchila, in the beginning of the meal. Upasimon, they bring bread with it to reduce the salt content, make it palatable. V'rachal l'maliach, part does the tefillah, make shakal on the fish, and that part does the bread. Shahapas tefillah, the whole reason why you're having the bread is only for the purposes of being able to eat the fish. You're not eating the bread for any other purpose. If you were to eat the bread for, like a normal meal, besides the fact that it would be making the fish edible, then you'd have to make a bracha mitzvah. But because it's only here exclusively for this purpose, only so that you can eat the salted fish, then therefore you don't have to make a bracha on the bread. Zaha, this is the rule. Kol shehu ikra imo tefela, bracha ha'ikar upas da'arasa tefela. This is the rule. If Kivagar and Tyson Kivagar says that the reason why the Mishnah repeats this is very simple, in order that you should be able that you might think that when do you say that the ikar pot is a tefillah in the case, let's say, of the bread, is because you make a shahakol on the ikar, and it happens to be shahakol. If you made a bracha of shahakol on the bread, but the eved, you would be yotzei with that bracha as well. So maybe that's when you say the bracha of the tefillah is yotzei with the bracha on the ikar. But in, let's say, the event, Kveger gives the following case, let's say the ikar was a bright pri ha'etz and the tofel was a bright pri ha'adamah. You might think that in such a case, you don't say the ikar part is the tofel. Mashallah, the sefer of the Mishnah, zaha klal, that Kol shehu ikar ve'imot tefela mevarchal ha'ikar potter asat tefela, even regardless of whether it was a bracha that would work or not. That's a nice idea to know. Samach tes, that's what Samach tes on base. Now we're going to Ayin and Aleph, starting the Gemara. Reb Shmuel ben Nachman b'shem Reb Yonason, mas naisa ad shelo lomdu sudas melachim. The Mishnah is talking about before they were noheg, where they learned the ways of the rich people. This is, by the way, a very interesting thing that, as time goes on, you'll notice this in the market, that what starts off as a rich man's toy ultimately goes mainstream. It used to be that only the rich people had a cell phone, then it became more mainstream. Now everybody has it. It used to be only rich people had these fancy multi-speed bikes. Now everyone has it. And so on. It always works like that. And here too, when it comes to the food. So people were not accustomed to the way the rich people eat. Apparently, rich people would have not salted food as appetizers. They would have, possible bakistan as appetizers. So, like he says in footnote one, sweet appetizers were the vogue, and salty foods were served during the meal. So, in other words, later on, salty food was not served before the meal. So, this Mishnah is talking about before. Once, of course, you became the, it became like the Malachim. So, like the Maharal Fuller says, okay. So then, it would not apply. Obviously, if the salty food is not tofel, is not being eaten as the main dish prior to the meal, but it's rather within a hamotzi. So of course you have to make hamotzi on the bread first. The notes, he mentions that the end of three, he says, in short, the Mishnah's novel ruling that bread is deemed subordinate to salted fish has little practical application nowadays, though it's true conceptually. When bread is eaten only to blunt the saltiness of food, it's considered subordinate to that food. Speaking practically, it's extremely uncommon for bread to be eaten purely for that purpose. Okay, so that's a very it's almost not nege anymore. Next, Rabbi Yirmiyahu. Now, this is really going to be very difficult. The Yishalmi is now going to quote a couple of things, which are all dvarim pshutim. Rabbi Yirmiyahu b'shem Rav, pita u'feira. If you have bread with peira, which is a dish similar to salted fish, And sometimes it's eaten with bread, sometimes it's eaten with pre-meal appetizers. So Imral HaPer, we make the bracha on the pear first. When Malkim Shai says a pear ikker, only if that's when the pear is the main thing. Malkim Shai no says a pear ikker, then lo bada. Then obviously the lechem would have a status of ikker. Shkizmi pita. So shkizmi is also that type of a food. See, he says, Primosha says it's a dish made of almonds, flour, and spices. Might be a very sweet food, whatever it is. Bottom line is, it's also something which normally you use the bread to make it more palatable. So then you make all shkizmi, you make the bracha on the shkizmi. But b'mogim shayin says shkizmi ikker. B'mogim shayin says shkizmi ikker, lo v'do. Obviously, if you don't make it ikker, that wouldn't apply. Would I need three cases of the middle shalom for this? I have no idea. Halacha 8. Now here we just have to review the Psukim. The Psukim say, you know, Hashem's going to bring you to Eretz Teva. And then it says, Eretz Kito Sarah Gefen Rimon, Atein of Rimon, Eretz Yisemen of Vosh. Then it says, Eretz Shalom Meis Kenus Lok Tech of Alechem. And then after that it says, V'achalta V'sovat V'rachta Shemol Kech Alarts Ato Hashem Shanas Allah. So, the pasuk me'achalta v'sovata v'irachta is a pasuk which follows the psukim of the parish in the shtach b'hem Eretz Yisrael. So Gamliel simply said a very, he just read the chumash, and he said, look, if you fill up on any of the fruits or any of the foods that are mentioned in the Eretz psukim, then you have to bench. That's what the pasuk says. Achalta v'sovata. Anything on the above pasuk, you're going to have to make a bracha, a birkas hamazon. All right. The Chachamim say, no, bracha achas, you only make bracha achas min shalosh, unless it's bread. Rabbi Akiva Omer, b'vorach, afilo achal shalak v'hu mazono, even if you eat a cooked vegetable. And that's what your dish is for your meal. That's what's filling you up. B'vorach alav shalosh brachas, you have to make benching. Because he's just simply saying, yachalto v'savato v'rachto, it doesn't matter. Whether it's one of the shiva minimum or not, it just says it, and that's it. Okay. Probably he says, it's in footnote 12, he says the only cooked vegetable that actually satiates is cabbage. Okay, so now you know. That's why coleslaw became so popular. A person drinks water because he's thirsty. So that's when he makes shakal nevivar. That's not fukim. If he's drinking it, let's say, to try to swallow something because he feels he's choking on it, or if he's taking medication and he swallows water just to help the medication go down and he's not thirsty, then he doesn't have to make the shakal. Rabbi Yehuda, or Rabbi Tafrin says, Tafrin Oimer, that even though we say, when fashas is the bracha achrayna, he holds to make that as a bracha rishana on water. The Radim has a long explanation about what chesronon means, about the bracha by nefashas. To die to see it inside, we'll just read it inside. Here's chesronon. What does chesronon mean? Kmo lechem umayim. Chesronon is bread or water, because you can't exist without that. And al koma shabor lahakis b'hamem shkochoi, klamer al koma shabor elam shaganim loy nevru uli cholam habrias this kind. Even if these things wouldn't have been created, you still would have been able to exist. But Hashem created them anyway. Loy nevru elokim was latanu bu toisefas toiva. Hashem made extra for enjoyment. So you have two inyanim in the bracha. You have your ring v'varach kadosh baruch hu koma shabor. What's the point of fashas rabbis for chesronon? You made a bracha on the things that we need. I'll call Masha Barla Hakias Baham on everything that he created, even the stuff that we don't need. So there's two in Yonim. So it's considered bracha arucha, and therefore it ends with a baruch, according to the Yushalmi. It's not baruch chehol, remember it's bracha to Hashem chehol. So the Yushalmi seat doesn't end with a baruch. Okay. Let's go to the Gemara. If you ate in the east side of a fig tree and you decided to eat more on the other side of the fig tree, on the west side of the fig tree, so you have to make another bracha. It's a big shaila in Rishonim how to learn this case. So let's just first learn the kipshuto. Kipshuto is the pshat is you're eating figs on one side of the tree. You don't see the other side of the tree because the trunk of the tree is blocking your view. So when you decide to eat on the other side of the tree, you have to make another bracha. Now, if it would be inside a house, we say that the havayas are called tosfin. So therefore, even if you don't see it, as long as you're in the same room, you for sure don't have to make another bracha. The question is whether if it's from one room to another room, if you have it in mind originally, they say that that would be good enough. Also, it's brought down in halacha that if you're in an orchard, so if you're in a gan, and there are many, many trees in the gan, so if you have in mind to eat from other trees, even if you walk to the other trees, you don't have to make a bracha if it's in the same gan. But if it's in another gan, it says in Shulchan Aruch that even if you had it in mind, you have to make another bracha because it's considered a shein aruch. One last point here is that according to the way we paskin, when it comes to being akiras makom, we paskin like the Ramah, that if it's something that requires a bracha, achrona b'mkayma, such as the shivas minim, so if you walk away, you're supposed to go back to where you began the achila to say the bracha achrona. So therefore, he paskins that if you walk outside the house, it's not considered a hefsek. In other words, in the sense that when you don't have to make a bracha orna before you leave, you don't have to make another bracha rishona when you come back. That's how the Ramah paskins. So according to that, if we're talking about the eda te'eno on one side of the fig tree, so then that's one of the things that was told brought. It's one of the shivas minim te'eno. So l'chayra, if you're going to the other side of the tree, why do you have to make another bracha rishayna? L'chayra, it should be good enough. The fact that you had the data because it was ton bracha b'mkayma. Teretz is that he's going to have to learn that we're not talking about where you ate figs underneath the fig tree, but rather you were eating, let's say, fish or meat. This is shahakol, so it only ties. Brain of fascists. By brain of fascists, if you walk out of the area, then you need a new bracha rishayna. So that's going to be a whole tumult. Given at a very high level, obviously there's much more to talk about. So that's the this halacha. Now we're going to talk about another halacha, which has to do with wine. Abba Bar Huna Omar Yayin Yoshan. You started off eating. Our girsa is the way we have it is you had old wine, then you had new wine, you have to make another bracha. The shaila is what bracha are we talking about here? Are we talking about hatova hametiv? Let's learn it that way first. So what's telling us here is that even though you're drinking less quality, a lesser quality, that because you started off with yashan, which is a higher quality, doesn't make a difference because you're making a bracha tova meitiv over the fact that you have a variety of wines available at your fingertips. The fact that a person has variety is a cause for blessing. So you make a tova meitiv. Now, whether it has to come after you or that in front of you at the same time, these are all shalas and shulchan aruch. You have to ayin shom in the siman about a tova meitiv to see the details of these halachas. Can get pretty complex. Let's see here. One other thing. Some people change the gears, okay? They have it the other way. They have it, you drank Yayin Chodosh, and then you drank Yayin Yashan. So you have the new wine and then the aged wine. And the reason for that is because you won't say Hatova Meitiv if the second wine is inferior, okay, that's a shaila. So therefore, they wanted to be garis first. You had yain chosh, and then you had yain yoshin. Now let's go to the second page, ta'ainu bay 70b. Shinui yayin in tzach levarach. If you're just changing the wine, shinui yayin, in other words, if both wines are the same age, the same chashivas, so they're just a different bottle. So then you don't have to make a bracha atav amitiv. If one was a red wine, though, and one was a white wine, I think it says in Shulchan Aruch that because the white wine is healthy, or even the white wine might be a little bit of an inferior quality, you have to make a tov amitiv. Okay. Shinin makom tzach levarach. If you're changing your spot, so you started drinking in one location and then you changed to another location. So what is it saying? Two. Yeah, that's pretty straightforward in that case. You see a daitai. If you decided in your mind you're not going to drink anymore, then you change your mind. That's kamishu shemachim. That's like changing locations. You have to make another bracha by pragofa. Let's see what it says over here. Footnote 3 says, the Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of 10:4, states that the reason a change of location necessitates a new blessing is that moving to the new location is like a Hesach Hadas. The essential law, however, is that a diversion of the wine triggers a new blessing requirement. Okay. There's a whole long list over there, whether changing locations is considered a Hesach Hadas, or is it just that the bracha is it's required a new bracha. Okay. Rabbi Nakash, every wine barrel that he opened, because they were from different years and different qualities. And so even though he didn't know really what was going to happen when he opened up the barrel, is it going to be a better quality or a lesser quality? Obviously, every single barrel was different. But it still says, he said, he says, Baruch Atah HaMeitiv, so he made a bracha. So you see, this is one of the rites that over a variety of wines, even though they are of differing quality, it could be one's better than the next, could be one's worse than the next, but it doesn't make a difference. The fact that you have a variety of selection was enough to make Rebbe make a bracha. Also, please keep in mind that in Shulchan Aruch it says this is only true if you're eating with other people. If you're eating by yourself, there's no bracha atav amitiv. Atav amitiv is that you're able to share things with other people. The Mishnah has a whole Mosadik thing about Atav amitiv, why they made the bracha. He has a whole thing that you're going to come to get too involved in drinking and you're going to lose yourself. So like this, Atav amitiv, remember, reminds you of the fourth bracha of Rechitza Mazon, which was Harugei Besar. It reminds you of the Yom HaMisa. So Mela, you won't get carried away. It's a very Mosadik approach to this bracha. Ma'isav Rabbi Kiva Sha'asa Mishnah L'Shimon B'nai. So every single time he opened up a barrel of wine for his son's chasna, he'd make a tava meitiv. Omer, he used to say, a good wine to the wives of the rabbon and their students. Okay. If you drink it, if you're thirsty, except for these dekarim waters, these were used for purgative effect. The first cup one drank loosened the fecal matter. The second cup purged the bowels completely. And the third cup was excreted as clear as when it was drunk. Footnote 9, it's just like, you know, going to a colonoscopy, the treatment you take before that. That's almost exactly the same thing. So that's the carbon. So you don't make a bracha. You're not going to make a shahakol on this, okay? We'll make any bracha at all. Of course, we're talking about we weren't thirsty. Rabbi Yossi, he says, of course, if you make a shahakal, if you're thirsty, even on the karm waters. Amar Rabbi Avon, so Rabbi Avon said, Hashem made the karm one. What do you say? Rosh Shabbar may be a certain kind of bracha for medicinal, like having available medicines, make a bracha. I never heard of this before. It says over here in the footnote 13 that he's disagreeing with Rabbi Yossi. He says if you drink therapeutic waters, although you don't say shahakal, you say something a little more specific, which has to do with creating this medicinal food available. Okay. Let's see. Yeah, that's all it's to say with it. Now let's finish up the parak. It's Tani made the karim. Some say it's the word dekar from piercing, because let's see. And it's Tani made the column. It could be it's the column from Russian dekal of palm tree waters. Mandamar made the karm, if you say the karm from Dukran Samara, it pierces the bile of the gallbladder. Mandamar made the column. Shane Yoitzim Ibn Shane the column. Because they come out from between two palm trees. There was a certain palm trees in Tveria, it says over here, that there was a spring that came out, and that's they got these waters from. Anyway, so Hadron Allah, Ketzim Ibarchim, and thank you for stopping by.